Our personal data is almost completely out of our control, so where's the regulation?
I'm not incredibly hopeful, and the reason is this. There's no blood.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. In the wake of the Equifax data breach, in which some 143 million people had their names, social security numbers, addresses, phone numbers, and potentially other personal information stolen, lots of folks are still thinking this hack might not affect them. We talked to some people in New York, and reactions were a little mixed.
I wasn't surprised. I purchase online a lot, and that's something I'm going to stop doing.
I generally am a private person, so I don't put my information out there for everyone to see to begin with. So that aspect of it wasn't too much of a concern for me.
I think we've really been minimizing. We don't buy a lot of things over the phone, online. I think we don't really share that much information as many people do. That's why I'm not really that concerned, you know?
That was Awafal, Jason Maynard, and Michael Tuzel. Truth is, when it comes to data collection, there is no such thing as being a private person. If you have a bank account or a credit history, if you've ever searched online or used a cell phone or signed up for a contest or a survey, it really doesn't matter if you're on Facebook or shopping online. Your data is being collected and shared in ways you probably never considered. Nancy Kim is a professor of internet studies at California Western School of Law. She says it's not just the data collection that's the problem, it's the security.
This is a problem with the business models which exist online. This whole idea of like data collection as a norm. And there's another part of this, which is software. At a certain point in the early days of software, there's a decision companies make. Do we release the software now, or do we test it for another few months or maybe even a year to make sure that it's, you know, doesn't have any bugs? And so so this norm became established where we now expect software to be buggy.
And when there's a hack, the usual response is to say that we, the consumer, did something wrong. But Nancy says the data bargain has changed.
Even if people now know their data is being collected, they didn't necessarily know that from the beginning. If they had, if the first time you got an email account, or there was a possibility of that, they said, you know, we're going to scan all your personal emails and we're going to collect all that and, you know, we might do stuff with it later. You would have said, you know, I'm not going to use email. I'll just stick to snail mail. And you wouldn't be the only one. Everybody would have done that.
In the U.S., we don't have a lot of laws about how data is collected or stored or protected. So I asked Nancy if the sheer size of this breach might change that.
If this doesn't do it, I don't know what will. But unfortunately, I'm not incredibly hopeful. And the reason is this. There's no blood. There's no dead bodies. It would be one thing if there was a hack and then we all checked our bank accounts and they were empty. But what's going to happen is, you know, next year you might be affected. 3 years from now, I might be affected. 20 years from now, my kids might be affected. We don't know.
That's Nancy Kim, a professor of internet studies at California Western School of Law. And you know, a lot of this got me thinking about how even your ability to protect yourself becomes an issue of resources, of even distribution. Listen to Awafal from the streets of New York. She didn't even know about the Equifax breach because she gets online at work.
What made me wait? Because I didn't know about it. I'm so embarrassed. But only because I cut off my TV recently. I get my news usually on the internet online. When I go to the office, I log on and by the way, MSN or Yahoo comes up and I read what's happening.
This is not someone who is sitting on her smartphone with her banking app monitoring her account for unauthorized activity. Not everyone has constant access to the internet to monitor their activities or to change all their passwords or dig through online account information. And what about that protection? Credit monitoring services can cost as much as $25 a month. And even the free one, Credit Karma, it uses your financial information to pitch you personalized credit card offers. So the bad bargain cuts both ways. On the one hand, you are asked to be smarter about how you use your data, even though you can't opt out of a credit agency collecting all your personal details. And then on the other hand, you're supposed to pay to protect yourself. Yeah, it seems like folks could use a little help here. Now, as it happens, two new bills are being introduced in Congress in the wake of the Equifax breach. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts introduced an act that would require credit agencies to let you freeze and unfreeze your credit file for free. Another bill from three other senators would regulate data brokers. Those are those companies that buy and sell your data. And it would let you opt out of having your data sold for marketing purposes. If not now, then when? I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.